LA Kings insider John Rosen joins us. John, welcome back to the show. How you doing?
Very good. You've been blasting any of the Beastie Boys recently, eh?
You know what, Johnny? I love the fact that you're a Beastie Boy. So we should fly you in for a karaoke contest.
I'll do Ad Rock's bit on like Get It Together or something, or a Sure Shot. I'm in.
The Beasties, I think at times were so underappreciated for how awesome they were.
Yeah, fantastic. And, whether it's Paul's Boutique, which is one of the greatest, most underrated albums, in hip-hop and electronic music, or even, like Ill Communications, probably my favorite. Just fantastic. It's even still stuff that when I go out and play hockey, I still have in the car just to listen to before I go out.
Oh, a little pump-up music. I love it.
We
all need that. You got the boom box when you walk in. That's awesome. I love it. What type of music would the LA Kings need tonight to fire them up to get by the Anaheim Ducks?
Hopefully we're not hearing that sad fiddle after tonight's game here. Whether getting up for the games, I think that whatever it is might help because they're going to need better starts. The team that has scored the first goal in all the games in the series has gone on to win the game. And you saw Anaheim score early on in game number 5. They were also able to score those early goals in both of the games back here at Staples Center. So, while you're not getting too much from the players in the press right now and they're not saying a whole lot, you definitely get the sense that they're looking for the better start, looking to go out there, control the first 20 minutes, and hopefully build off of that for their best 60 minutes, which hasn't come yet.
John, what's your take on the Kings in this sense? They seem to be better playing, a lot better playing from behind than front runners, and that goes against all convention. I mean, you want to grab a series and put a stranglehold on it if you can, but they seem to have been comfortable. I don't know about comfortable, but at least effective in being up against the wall and having to fight out of a corner.
They've certainly built that up so far here in this postseason. Even, last year, too, when they fought from behind, in that Game 5 against Chicago and came from behind against San Jose in that Game 2 in that series as well. They have the character and they have the experience of being able to do that. Really what they're going to need to do is have a better full team defensive effort, better puck possession, and a stronger game from Jonathan Quick. This is the Jennings Trophy winning goaltender, yet the Kings are... of any of the teams that made it into the second round of the playoffs, the Kings are giving up the most goals per game here in the postseason. They're giving up 2.83 goals per game, so that's very unkingly right now at the moment. Quick has been inconsistent in the postseason, was very good when the Kings were fighting from behind and strung those wins together against San Jose and then against Anaheim in the early part of the series. But his even strength save percentage right now is only .915. All the goaltenders that are remaining, the starting goalies, are all well above that right now. So he struggled a little bit on the power play or when Anaheim's on the power play too. So, it's a better puck possession game, better defensive effort, which is tough because they have a couple of key names out, and just a stronger performance in net because that last game wasn't Quick's best by any evaluation.
LA Kings insider John Rosen joins us. Game 6 tonight in LA, Ducks and the Kings. Kings suddenly losers of 3 in a row. When you look at this series, Devontae Smith-Pelly's got 3 goals in the last 2 games. A bigger body who really seems to be giving the Kings a lot of trouble right now. I know that Getzlaff and Perry are still the go-to guys, but when a guy gets hot like this, John, in the playoffs, you do maybe have to spend a little bit more attention on him. What do you think the Kings have to do to try to derail Pelly, who's been red hot for a few games?
He's somebody that thrives in the situations generally along the boards in the offensive zone, maintaining production, a lot of the plumbing that you see, similar to what we saw from Dwight King a couple years ago in the playoffs when L.A. was jumping out to all those 3-0 series leads. But right now, Smith-Pelly's also been somebody that's been burying the puck, and he's been putting himself into key spots in the offensive zone. He's somebody that certainly has benefited from an additional time in the AHL. He was kind of forced into action a couple years ago on that Ducks team that struggled before they got Bruce Boudreau in there. And again, was one of those guys that did a lot of the little things, the play around the boards, the physical play going to the net. But right now we're just kind of seeing exactly what he did then, but just to a greater degree. What the Kings are going to have to do is again, it's just if the puck is on LA's stick, then it's not going to be on the stick of Ryan Getzlaff, who's able to feed Smith-Pelly the puck, or Corey Perry, who had that terrific assist in Anaheim's 2-0 win in Game 4. So, again, it comes back down to the Kings' puck possession game, which is their bread and butter. leaving the zone with speed and getting through the neutral zone quickly and getting into the offensive zone and chipping the puck deep and making hits, getting their forecheck going. Because when they're working with a puck, working in the offensive zone, fewer moments that Anaheim's top line will have the puck.
John, winning and losing, coaches like to say, never comes down to one guy, although usually when they say that, they're protecting a goaltender who may not be playing as well as he can. What do you see when you look at Quick? Is he what's he saying? But more important, what do you see as an observer?
Well, he's ultra competitive. He hasn't been saying a whole lot. You know, he's somebody that generally he won't talk on game days, and that's his preference, and that's the way that he prepares for a game, which is fine. But you can sense his frustration. The team understands it. I tend to agree that he's the best big game goaltender perhaps in the world. In games in which he's facing elimination, he's 6-3, 189 goals against average, .941 save percentage in the NHL. I think that you can look at the absence of Willie Mitchell and Robin Regier right now, and even though they hadn't had the most consistent and distinguished playoff runs when they went down to injury, their absences certainly have had an effect on the Kings' penalty kill. And since they've gone down, Quick has allowed 5 goals on 16 shots when the Kings have been shorthanded. So Anaheim's power play has really stepped up a notch with the Kings' injuries. That's had an impact. Quick has still been counted upon to make some very big saves, even as he has been inconsistent here. But just there have been a lot of opportunities, and again, credit the Anaheim Ducks as a team that when you take away the shootout goals, they were the highest scoring team in the NHL this year. So they're a very, very good team that takes advantage of their opportunities. And again, it comes down to the Kings, not just getting that puck possession game going when they're down by a couple goals or, when they're pressed up against the wall there, but really for the whole 60 minutes, starting that game the way that they finished games 4 and games 5.
LA Kings insider John Rosen joins us. John, Marian Gaborik on fire for the Kings, has scored some huge goals in the playoffs for them. What's your thought as far as him re-signing in LA?
With all the teams, basically getting another $4 or $5 million with which to work, this would seem to be the right time for him personally to have that unrestricted free agency. So if he is going to re-sign with Los Angeles, he would probably have to at this point right now maybe take a little bit of a discount in order to do so. But I would say that it would be one of the team's priorities right now, just because. And you talked to Daryl Sutter today, even though he had that collarbone injury this year and had injury issues earlier in his career, Daryl still sees him as a very durable player. There is that palpable chemistry that he has with Andrei Kopitar, but somebody that, not just a goal scorer, but somebody that's strong with the puck, and somebody that for the Kings, a team that's pretty low scoring, this is somebody that has instantly stepped in and has worked at about just under 0.9 points per game with Los Angeles. So it would be a priority right now, but of course there is some things that work in his favor with the salary cap going up just a little bit this coming year. That would make him obviously at least consider going to July 1st and seeing what's out there.
John, I think everybody who's watched the game for even 10 minutes understands how talented Gaborik is. But I got to tell you, when I thought of L.A., I didn't know if he would be a Sutter kind of player. Now, I know he's never going to be a candidate for the Selke Trophy, but has he at least broadened his game to be more reliable on the other side of the puck? Or what's the deal with the chemistry here?
There has been instant chemistry ever since he joined the team. And Daryl earlier today said that his hockey IQ is off the charts, so he can adjust in a hurry. There was kind of the narrative, I guess, brought up earlier that, he played for those low-scoring Jacques Lemaire teams back when he was with Minnesota. But those are two very different types of teams in L.A. Again, one of the best puck possession teams, if not the best in the National Hockey League. And he's playing with two guys that are some of the best puck possession guys when he's skating, with Andrei Kopitar and Justin Williams, who has been on the line for the most part. So anytime you could put somebody with the skill level and the speed there of Marian Gaborik alongside Andrei Kopitar, there are going to be very good things that happen through the neutral zone into the offensive zone. There really wasn't any type of, maybe just 2 or 3 games for them to get their feet going. But ever since then, really instant chemistry, and you know, he's kind of fit in. He's got this persona and this character that seems to really jibe well with his Kings room.
If the Kings are going to win tonight, what is the one thing, and maybe there isn't one thing in a game of hockey where there's so many interchanging parts, but what do you feel, John, is the one thing the Kings have to do tonight that maybe they haven't done as well as they could in the last three games?
Yeah, they're going to have to limit the turnovers. Anaheim's such a team that can really get you on that quick counter strike. Anaheim hasn't really enjoyed a ton of zone time in this series, but they have taken advantage. They have been a patient team. And they've done a very good job of L.A., which you saw early in the San Jose series, and now in this series, too, really taking advantage of you know, the mistakes. You know, the Kings' inability to consistently leave their own zone, five guys in a unit, you know, not spread too far out together. So, obviously, you can look at Jonathan Quick, and you got to think that, you know, you need a 0, 1, or 2 goals against from him. But that really starts with the team's play, in exiting their zone, getting through the neutral zone and just playing that smart, detailed hockey. So I would say limit the turnovers, play smart, and again, that quick start and strong 60-minute effort. Hopefully I'm not getting too much into player cliche speak here.
Well, it's true sometimes. The cliches are used in a lot of situations because they're true.
We hear so many this time of the year.
Yeah,
so many.
the turnover factor is a difference in the games now, which is great. That's what hockey's about. There's a lot of mistakes being made. And the team that makes the fewest mistakes a lot of time is the victor. The winner moving on to take on Chicago in the Western Conference Finals. Should be a great series regardless which team's in. Something tells me, though, that we'll be talking maybe later on this week. I sense a Game 7 coming Friday in Anaheim.
Yeah, you know, it's easy for me to say from all the way up here without having gone through a couple of those on the ice. But, I think the Kings, despite, how exhausting that may be, two series in a row, they would gladly take that. So that would be very interesting to see that happen twice with two big rivalries.
John, as always, appreciate your time.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks so much.